Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You'll shut up. I will preach. Acts chapter 2. Get your Bibles. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. In fact, let's start with verse 37. The Bible says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent." Or that word repent means change your mind. Change your mind. Change your mind about how you want to get to heaven to what God says you've got to do to get to heaven. If you've got to repent from all your sins, you're still headed for hell tonight. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." And then some churches take this and misuse it for the remission of sins. The word "for" there is the word eis in the Greek, which means in lieu of or because of. If you go into the post office and you see your picture up there and it says "wanted for murder," it doesn't mean that someone's going to hire you to murder somebody. Anybody listening? It means you've already committed murder and they're looking for you. All right? Here's somebody that's already had remission of sins. In lieu of the fact you've had remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hey, listen! I know you don't believe this, but you're in church. And I expect you to shut up and listen. And we're glad you're here, but listen. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Now hold it, it's not just for the Jew. The First Baptist Church of Jerusalem was made up. Don't look so sad. Good night. You're in church. You're not dying, man. When I give you some castor oil, boy, it ain't that bad. For the promise is unto you. The promise is unto you and to your children and all that are afar off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's everybody. If you get saved tonight, you could smile. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word. Now hold it. They received the word of the gospel. What happened? Were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. A small church becoming a large church. If some of you had been there, you'd have said, "I believe it's time for me to move my letter to a smaller church." I didn't plan. This little 120, we all knew each other. We all knew our families. We knew our relatives. We were able to fellowship together. But now, this crazy preacher, he's got to go get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he's got to get excited about what Jesus said we're supposed to do. And the next thing you know, look what he's done. Why, he's done got 3,000 saved and baptized. And where are we going to put all these people? We can't put them in this little white frame building anymore. And now we've got troubles. And if it hadn't been for that preacher, we wouldn't have this kind of trouble. And one for that preacher, we could find a seat on Sunday night. And one for that preacher, we could find a seat on Wednesday night. Now, next thing you know, he'll start raising money, knocking the walls out, and start building a balcony and doing more. Why? Whatever happened to our little church? Now, tonight, I'll not finish this message. I'll not finish it. But I'm going to start it. I want to talk to you tonight about this subject. Why you should be a part of a growing church. Why you should be a part of a growing church. Now, since we've started this thing and folks have gotten saved and folks have come and folks have joined. Now, you folks who ushers, let's bow our heads, please. Ushers, help me tonight. I'm not going to put up no mess tonight. You just might as well get it settled. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. We have children's churches. Take the babies to the nursery. Take them to children's church. We have got to hear the message tonight. And don't pout at me now. Bless God, you just straighten up. You're in church and you just straighten up now. Father, tonight, ushers, you've got to help us. Father, tonight, help us. The folks have got to hear. They've got to hear. The hope of America is getting men of God set on fire, win souls, run buses, keep people out of hell. And then for the people to understand that it's your will that churches be growing. Father, please help the people to listen, pay attention. It can make all the difference in the world. Please help us. So crucial tonight. In Jesus' name, we beg for your help. Amen. Now put your pen up. I want everybody to put your pen up. Everybody put your pen up. We're not going to take notes tonight. You can't keep up with me what I've got written down tonight. So just forget it. I want everybody to buy the tape. Go to the bookstore as soon as we get through and buy the tape. We need the money and you need the tape. The last several weeks, I take that back, the last several months. This is going to be a pastoral message, so just relax a little bit and I'll get into preaching in a minute. For the last several months, I don't understand people. I've never understood people, but the last few months I've understood less of people. Everybody look at me now. Please listen. Give me your mind for a minute, would you please? When I first came here, and I was just passing through town, I wasn't no more looking for a church than the Pope was looking to be pastor of this church. I wasn't looking. But I was passing through town, took a boy, a troubled boy, down to Corpus Christi, to Brother Roloff's homes. And I was passing back through town. Jim Newton was the interim pastor at that time. I stopped by on a Thursday night and chit-chatted with some of the fellas, and it's a long story. I don't have time to go into it. I've told it several times. And so Jim talked me into talking to the deacons on Friday night about pastoring this church. God had done something, pricked my heart, when I talked to Dr. Terry Smith and Dr. Tom Smith in Garland. In that conversation, when they told me this church didn't have a pastor, never been in Texas before in my life, never. But as they told me this church didn't have a pastor, the Holy Spirit of God in Garland, Texas, took a hot iron. Now look at, just at least do be courteous and look at me. At least be courteous and look at me. I know you don't give a flip about what I'm saying, but at least be courteous. So the Holy Spirit took a knife and pierced my heart. And I knew, on the I don't know what the name of the road, I call it the old Garland Road, but I knew I was going to be the pastor of this church. I'd never seen you, I'd never seen this building, I'd never seen, I just knew God told me I was going to be the pastor. I didn't know how I was going to work it out. I passed through on Thursday. A handful of men here for, quote, visitation back in those days. I met with Jim Newton. Jim Newton says, I want you to talk to the deacons because these people are about to drive me nuts. And you have driven me nuts. And so he said, I want you to talk to the deacons. I think you're the man. God wants you to take this church. I met with the deacons. I'd forgotten to call my wife. I'd left Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I got so wrapped up this thing, I forgot to call my wife. After 4 hours, I said to the deacons, I've got to call my wife. I went in one of the offices, picked up the phone. I guess maybe it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock. And I called my wife. She hadn't heard from me since Monday. And I said, you're not going to believe this. And she was crying on the end of the phone. She said, oh, yeah, I believe it. We're moving to Texas, aren't we? And I said, how'd you know? She said, we've been buying boxes and getting ready. And we've been packing all day. And we're ready to go. Well, this church hadn't voted on me. There hadn't been nothing done. All I'd done just met with some deacons. And so I on Sunday morning, I was supposed to preach. I went in the office, and they said a bunch of men had been praying and asking God for a pastor. They asked me if I'd like to join the prayer meeting. I walked in the door, and I'm going to guess 12 men, maybe 10, maybe 11, maybe 12 in the office. And all of them were praying and begging and weeping for God, and here's what they prayed. Almost every man prayed, Lord, send us an old-fashioned preacher. Lord, send us a soul winner. Lord, send us somebody who will run this church and take this church and build a great church here. Now, I don't understand people. Those same people that wanted to have a soul winning church, when things began to happen, they began to exit. I don't understand people. You're like the children of Israel. Lord, send us quail. We've got to have quail. And after God sends quail, you look up and say, we're sick and tired of this quail. Well, you asked for the quail, and you got the quail, and you asked for the soul winning, and you got the soul winning, and you asked for the strong pastoral leadership, and you got it, even though God heard your prayer. Be careful what you pray. But the last few months, I've noticed people, three families that I know of that I could name tonight, who've gone. Let's bow our heads, please. Ushers, I have got to have your help. I'm not going to ask you again. People have got to hear this message tonight. So let's bow our heads. Take the baby to the nursery. Please, you have got to help us tonight. You have got to go to the nursery. People have got to hear the message tonight. Now, Father, please, Holy Spirit of God, you've got to help us tonight. People have got to hear this message. Please help us and speak to us and encourage us about this matter of winning souls. Please, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I have to stop. We'll never get out here till midnight. I'll stop every time I have to because we're going to hear the message. So, three families I could name in particular, and good people. They're not bad people. But they've said, we are going to find a smaller church. Now, if they had been around with that little 120 on the day of Pentecost that turned into 3,120, they would have said to on this great Bible event, they would have been the same people who would have said, I think we need to find a smaller church. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I just do not understand people's thinking. And tonight, I want to help you and persuade you that there are far more advantages to be. Now, I'm not saying that a small church is not a scriptural church. I don't care if it's 75 in the country, but it's growing and people are being saved and people are being baptized, then I think that's okay. But even in a small church like that, that'll get up to 75 and 100 and 125, you'll have people who'll up and say, I think we've just got to find a smaller church. Now, take your Bibles and follow along with me, please, as we begin the message. In Acts chapter 1, verse 15, you have about 120 people that are numbered. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 41, you find it increased to 3,120. And boy, that is a whopping increase in membership for that church. Now, go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says this about this First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Watch it. The Lord added, circle that word added. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, you've got 120 people. Day of Pentecost takes place. They have a big day. They baptize 3,000. Now, they got 3,120. And Acts 2:47 says people are added to that church. Now, go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 4 with me, please. Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. In Acts 4 and verse 4, the same First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Wow! Man, isn't this a growing church? We start out with 120. Have a big day. You got 3,120 now. And then the Bible says, are you listening? The Bible says added to the church. And then in Acts 4:4, you got 5,000 men that are mentioned in Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, if you add women and children, all would have to agree that probably the church numbered between 20,000 and 25,000 folks. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd have to say at this point that God was pleased with a growing church, and somebody say amen. Okay. Now go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Acts 4 and verse 29, the Bible says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. This is a deacon board meeting here. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. So the disciples prayed, grant unto thy servants boldness that we may speak thy word. And it was granted. Now look at Acts 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, and the place was shaken where they were assembled together, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and talked like turkeys and jumped the pews and rolled in the aisle and ran in a wall, got a knot on their head and called oral for a healing. It doesn't say that. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now look at verse 32. And the multitude. Now circle the word multitude there. And the multitude of them that were believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Reminds you of Pentecost, doesn't it? All right? So they were first called a multitude. Now right next to that word multitude, excess of 25,000. That word means excess of 25,000. When you see the word multitude being mentioned in Scripture, it means excess of 25,000. Now go to Acts chapter 5 and verse 14. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 14. In Acts 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, were the more added, circle that word, added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Wow. Now we have multitudes. Go to Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. Acts chapter 6 verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied. Circle that word multiplied. Alright? We find they multiplied in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. If you'll take a look at verse 7. And the word of the Lord increased and the number of the disciples, circle that word, multiplied. So the Bible says now they're not adding to the church, they are multiplying. Now, 2 times 2 is 4, and 4 times 4 is 16, and 16 times 16 is 256, and 256 times 256 is 65,536. You say, how do you know? I done multiplied it out and wrote it down in my Bible. That's how I know. Now, when one adds, beginning at the same number of two, he finds an aggregate total of only 32, or 65,504 less than in multiplication. So apparently here, there's something wonderful going on here, in that God now is multiplying the church, and the church is not adding now, but the church is multiplying. Now, ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you tonight that there are advantages of you being a part of a growing church. Oh, you say the balcony scares me, and the church of the growth of the church scares you. Shouldn't scare you. You ought to be thrilled about it because we are following what the Bible says we're supposed to do. Now, why should you be a part of a growing church? Young lady, pick the paper up off the floor, would you please? All right, let me give you some reasons tonight. Don't write it down. Put your pen up. Put it up. You can't keep up with me tonight. I honestly and legitimately have 30 points tonight. Don't panic. Lock the doors. We ain't going nowhere. And why you should be a part of a growing church. Number one, because the only pattern in the Bible is a growing church. Somebody say amen. The only pattern in the Bible is a growing church. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to me and you listen to me well. It is God's will that this church grow, and if you're not for growth in this church, you're not for what God says about His own church. Oh, say, preacher, I can't find a seat. That's the idea. The idea is to put you in some hard folding chairs. The idea is to make it as uncomfortable for you as we can. The more uncomfortable we make it for you, the less you'll sleep, the more you'll stay awake. You just might get a truth from the preacher tonight, hit the altar and get right with God, and go out and keep somebody out of hell. Bless God, you want to be a part of some dead mess tonight, go find you a Southern Baptist church somewhere. Some dead outfit, some BBF outfit, some outfit. Don't give a flip about keeping people out of hell. But bless God, tonight, Longview Baptist Temple, you ought to be shouting and thanking God you're a part of a soul-winning church. Number two, because there is a command to the church to win souls baptized and train those to do the same thing. Now, if you do that, growth comes. You know what's wrong with you guys? Some of you guys shout tonight but never keep anybody out of hell. Some of you shout. I think they want to say the only ones that can shout are people who get somebody in the water. That shuts you up. Brother, tonight, you listen to me. I'm sick and tired. Look, let me tell you what happened. In the 60s, it was a phenomenon. You never heard of a growing church. In the 70s, boom, it started happening all over the nation. In the 80s, people started meddling with the engine. Got rid of the standards. Started criticizing the King James Bible. Now we got board-led churches instead of pastor-run churches. And the churches started dying. And everybody said, we don't like that big church. We want a small church. So the churches started dying in the 80s. Hold it. Now it's the 90s.
Now guess what? All over this nation, there are young men of God that are fired up, winning souls, and great churches are starting to be built. Hold it. Now we're going to face the same thing again. Some of you sane people who wanted to grow in church, when you can't find a seat and God blesses, you ought to just say, thank God. Why don't you go out and buy a folding chair and bring it in? Bless God, you take that folding chair and run around. You want to go? You could join the orchestra. Pastor school, you can't find a seat. I learned how to cure that. Go buy you a folding chair. Bless God, you walk right down the front, pop that baby open, sit right there. Amen. Now, why should you be a part of a growing church? Because the only pattern in the Bible, because command for us to win soul, baptize, and then train them to do the same thing. Number three, why should you be a part of a growing church? Because there's a hell. There's a hell. And bless God, if there is no hell, let's go home. We've sacrificed our last time. But there is a hell. And people that die without Christ burn in hell. That's why you ought to have a growing church. Number four, because the more you grow, the more you'll the soul winners you'll have. That's simple. The more you grow, the more soul winners you'll have. That's why you've seen the church grow from 13 out on visitation to over 700 out on soul winning every week. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it's growing. That's why you got 350 plus little kids, young'uns, in clubs learning how to win souls. Why? Because the church is growing. Look, I'm tired of it. You quit bashing this church. You quit criticizing this church. And you members in this church ought to thank God tonight you're part of a growing church. You know, you're going to fool around and get transferred to Kentucky. You're going to fool around and get shipped to Arkansas and sit in some little white frame building with therefore no more the mother-in-law running outfit and nobody getting saved, and you just keep fooling around and keep criticizing. I'll say to you quickly, number four, because the more you grow, the more soldiers you have. Number five, because the aggressive leadership that helped produce the growth will pressure you to be active and produce. You see, there is a preacher here who keeps kicking the bus director in the tail. There's a preacher here who keeps kicking the youth director in the tail. There's a preacher around here that just happens to believe we ought to do everything right and we ought to have a growing church. And I'll tell you, I'm going to push these guys and I'm going to push you and I'm going to pressure you. Why? Because there's a hell, that's why. Why should you be a part of a growing church? Because of the growth, you'll have more opportunities to serve God. Man, there's more opportunities for you to do something for God around here than any small church in the world could ever think of. Number seven, because of the influence on the morals of the community. I can take you down Highway 80, a strip joint down there. We led one girl to Christ, second girl to Christ, third girl to Christ, fourth girl to Christ, fifth girl to Christ, and next thing you know, they had to shut the thing down. Why? Because of the soul winners in this church. Kept them out of hell. Baptized them in that tank up there. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. It does influence the morals of this community. And brother, the more we win souls, keep people out of hell, the better the community is that we're going. Look, you, the police tell us we're the only ones that can go in Crack City. We go to Marshall where the policemen won't even go. We go to Bossier City where the police won't even go. We go to Shreveport where the police won't even go. And ladies and gentlemen, you ought to thank God you're part of a church like that. Why should you be a part of a growing church? Because of the moral pressure put on political candidates. Bless God, I'm going to tell you. Look, the mayor comes and sees me. And he wants to know if he's moving quick enough to take care of problems in town. Now look, you name me another church where you got that kind. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Now I'm saying that's important. I'm saying that the man of God, check it out in the Bible about the kings and the prophets and the preachers. Hey, all of them had influence on the political sphere. Number nine, because the politicians will come to you for votes. Did you hear what the one man said at the soul winning clinic? Politician stood up here and he said, enough people in this town to run the town, in this church to run the town. Because that's the people that vote. Less number of people that vote. Hey, let's organize and run it. You want to? Number 10. Because more folks are being saved, more folks will be called into full-time service for God. If more people are being saved. Hey, we've had our first Spanish young men surrender to preach the gospel. Brother Suco is averaging 24 baptisms a Sunday in the Spanish department. How many you had saved in the last 6-8 weeks? 1,100 last how many weeks? How many weeks? Last how many weeks? 8 weeks. Last 8 weeks. 8 weeks. 8 weeks. Somebody shout amen. Hey! He can't even speak Spanish. Brother, don't you tell me there's not a God in heaven. You know, we're using teenagers around here that can speak Spanish. Now, look. What's going to happen here? The more people get saved, the more people are going to get called to preach. Number 11. Why should you be a part of a growing church? Because you can provide ministries. You can provide ministries for your kids and grandkids that others can't. You can't. Look, you can't have all these clubs and everything going around here and some little small church somewhere. Now, why don't you just settle in and say, this way it's supposed to be. Why don't you just settle in and say, glory to God, I can't find a seat. Bless God, they got me sitting in folding chairs. Bless God, it's the air conditioning ain't working, and it's hot, and I'm stinking. You were stinking before it didn't work, but why don't you say, thank God, I'm a part. Listen, you don't realize it, but you are living in history tonight. You ought to thank God there are more people being saved and baptized on a per capita basis than First Baptist Church of Hammond. You're seeing history being written here. Number 12, because you can be the subject of a sermon and the whole church not know it was you he was preaching about. Amen. Now, it's amazing to me. Some of you people really slay me. I have a rule. I never attack a subject unless there are 5 idiots that get involved in it. Never. But it's always amazing to me when I deal with a subject how all of a sudden you get picked off and you come to the preacher and you say, you preached right at me. Well, thank God you're part of a growing church where I can do it and nobody will know it's you. You can't buy a commercial in one of my sermons. I'm not trying to edify you. I'm not trying to destroy you. I'm just simply saying tonight, the truth of the matter is, you got to realize, you thank God you're part of a church where you can mess up and the preacher nail your stake and hide and you can go on, hit the altar, and go on for God. Son, if there are only 10 sitting out there and you pulled a stunt you pulled in this room, then everybody's going to know. Somebody say amen. But if there's only 11 there, and you cussed, the preacher gets up and says, there's somebody here! Cussed last week. He's a man! Let's say 6 of them are women. We're down to 5. And that man's old enough, he ought to know better. Well, if you got 5 and 3 of them teenagers, you only got 2 old codgers left. Somebody help me now. Bless God, you come to a church like this and a preacher rip your stinking face off and holler about your sin and kick and carry on. And bless God, you can hit the altar and get right with God. I'm telling you, there's an advantage to being part of a growing church. But the reason you chose that smaller church, because you know he won't do it. Hey, we can't run them out fast enough. Next. Because it'll hinder your tendency to get mad and cause trouble. You ought to be part of a growing church. I'll tell you why. Because that old nature just rears up every once in a while. And you get ticked off every once in a while. Turn me up. I don't see any blood coming out of their ears. And the truth is, all of a sudden one day, if you're in a little bitty church, you got 15, 20 people, and you get sideways with the preacher, you can cause trouble. Bless God, around here, if you get sideways with the preacher and decide to cause trouble, you're in trouble. I said you're in trouble.
And I'll tell you something, bless God, you, when you get a big church and you can't run it, then God can run His own church. I just didn't like the way that preacher preached that sermon.
Well, don't say it around here. Man, I don't say it around here. There's too many marriages been put back together around here. There's too many kids gotten off drugs and life straightened out around here. There's too many people been saved from alcohol and prostitution and drugs around here. There's too many crack dealers in this room that have been saved and don't sell the stuff anymore. And they just happen to love their preacher and just happen to care about this church. If I was you, I'd shut my mouth.
Why should you be a part of a growing church? Because you can financially do things for God that others can't do. You go to some small church and try to do some of the things we do around here, you can't do it. I say to you quickly, because you'll lose your ability to steer the church financially and politically where you want it to go, thus God can run His own church.
Well, I just don't have any influence down there. Good. Well, they don't know who I am.
Good.
Well, I don't think anybody knows who I am.
Hip, hip, hooray, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Now, why do you want to be a part of a smaller, non-growing church? Number one, no more pressure to go soul winning.
No more. Pick it out. Get in your car and drive within 40, 50 miles and pick you out a church. Pick it out. And I'll guarantee you, you go join that smaller, non-growing outfit, and I'll tell you that man will never... He doesn't have a portable mic. He don't scream and holler. He doesn't vomit the mouth. You know why? Because you ain't got nothing to holler about.
You won't have to go soul winning. Why? No pressure. I'm going to tell you something. You better get this right. You listen to me well. You ain't right with God if you don't go. And you ain't right with God if you don't go. And you ain't right with God if you don't go. And you ain't right with God if you don't go. And you ain't right with God if you don't go. And you just plain ain't right with God. That's the way it ought to be. Hey, you're going to sing in the choir. You're going soul. That's what you're going to do. You're going to be on the staff. You're going to lead this choir. You're going so. You understand? Hey, somebody, that's what it's all about. But if a poor little old preacher's got 15 people, 20 people, he ain't about to get up and holler and run out to what little he's got left. And if he keeps on mollycoddling, he'll get it down to 3. No more bus kids. And I go so far as to say, no more black bus kids. No more Spanish. Ladies and gentlemen, if you read about the First Baptist Church in the book of Acts, you'll find that it had people from all the nations of the world that got saved and got baptized. Ladies and gentlemen, what in God's name is wrong with us tonight? Yeah, go find you a smaller outfit. But there'll be no more bus kids. You know, I'll tell you what brings life around here. It's the kids. You old codger, some of you, if it wasn't for the kids, you wouldn't have no life at all. I mean, the older you, some of you folks get, the meaner you're looking. No more bus kids. I love bus kids. I was preaching one morning, the bus kid got up and started to walk out years ago. And I stopped and said, hey, where are you going? He turned around and said, to the potty. You want to go with me? Don't ever ask a bus kid. Dr. Bob Graham Floor was preaching one Sunday morning. The kid had a little car and he was sitting on the second row. And he kept getting louder. Finally, Brother Gray started preaching this side. Tried to ignore him. Finally, he stopped. Hey, stop that kid. And the kid went, arr!
Only of us can.
Walking down this hallway over here, one Sunday night, water gushing out underneath the door. I opened the door, ran in. What in the world? I went in there, and there's 10, 11 bus kids all huddled in that back commode back there. And I got over behind them. I said, what in the world? I looked down, and they said, hand me another. Hand me another. They had another roll of toilet paper. He said, I think we can break our record today. Shoved in and started flushing that thing. I got leaned over, and I said, what are you boys doing? They said, well, we just had it's a preacher! I walked into my office one day, opened up the door, went in, and there was a kid straddling the partition. He had picked up, well, I shouldn't tell these stories. He had picked up the tile and was crawling from room to room on the beams. Had got into my office and lifted up the tile, and he was riding that partition, feet dangling. And I walked in and looked up, and you could hear him talking. He said to another kid hollered, what's in there? He looked, and he said, I don't know. Looks like a desk. Could be an office. I walked underneath and looked up at him, and he said, oh, no! Kid said, who is it? He said, it's worse than God. It's the preacher! I wouldn't. Had the Lord's Supper one night. A kid stood up in the middle of the Lord's Supper, somber and quiet and respectful and his spiritual. Stood up and started walking down the aisle with a cup in his hand. He kept hollering to us, hey, usher, fill it again! Fill it again! Fill it again! Ladies and gentlemen tonight, if you don't love bus kids, you ain't right with God. I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm so sick and tired of people coming and say, well, how many did you have on buses? Bless God, it doesn't matter if they all came in on buses. Bless God, we're going to win everybody. We can win. Keep everybody out of hell. We can keep. Somebody shout amen. Hey, hooray for the bus kid. Hooray for the bus kid. Somebody say amen. I looked out tonight and I saw half a dozen our little black preacher boys that we've got in this church. And they're all shouting while some of you deadheads are sitting there looking like you're dead. Hey, I done figured this thing out. Took a long time, but I done figured it out. If you're pastoring a church and you got a 65-year-old deacon causing you trouble, I got it done figured out. Go win your 11-year-old to Jesus. 10 years, he'll be 21. He'll have kids of his own. He'll have a job. He'll be tithing. And the old codger's causing you trouble going to die and go somewhere. I'm not sure where he's going. He's not sure where he's going. But then you take the bus kid. He's married now. Vote him in as a deacon. Put him on the deacon board. And bless God, keep the buses rolling. Why don't you want to be a part of a growing church? It's very simple. No more pressure to go soul winning. No more bus kids. No more pressure to come back Sunday night or Wednesday night. Hey, the preacher's hoping you won't come back so he don't have to stay. Brother Hamilton, his wife went on vacation. Well, he's always on vacation, but he took a couple days to get out of town. Went to church last Sunday night. I was surprised at that, but went to the church. Church started at 7, and they were out at 7:25. Look at me. 7:25. Let's bow our heads, please. Let's bow our heads. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Father, tonight, help us. Folks have got to hear this message tonight. I pray the folks will pay attention. Please help pay attention. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. 7:25. My father died. We held the service on Sunday. My nephew said to me, he said, I'm a member of Adrian Rogers Church in Bellevue. He said, would you like to see that big building? That big, massive church? I'd love to. It'd be interesting. So while I was out of town, I drove over with him. He was on the deacon board. The nephew. my niece. So we went to church. You were with us, weren't you? Went to church. Multi-million. I probably $15 million worth of building. Walked in the back. Looked like a mall. Went in, sat down. 6:30. Adrian Rogers got up and said, I promise you we'll be out by 7:30. 7:30. Promise you. Promise you. Folks, he kept his word. They were out at 7:29 and left. And left. If I was going to spend $14 million on a piece of property, Brother Garris, I believe I'd preach till midnight. Bless God, I think you'll get every stinking nickel and dime you can out of the building. Hey, bless God, why in God's name tonight? Listen, we ought to thank God. We're part of the church where the preacher puts some pressure on you. Number four, everyone knows who you are. That's why you want to be a part of a smaller church. Everyone know who you are. Well, there it goes. There she is. Hey, listen to me. I don't know who's doing that talking, but shut up. There she is. There he is. Bless God, why don't you just serve God, win soul, keep people out of hell, and quit worrying about if anybody knows who you are. Next, you can influence the church's direction. Man, we don't want to influence the church's direction. We just want to go the direction. See, but if you're a member of a smaller church, you can say, Pastor, did you notice how much I gave last year, Pastor? Had a guy came here. This is story number 349. Coming to my office and sat down and $1,000 cowboy suit on and $500 boots, shirt unbuttoned, his hair sticking out, had a little cross laying in his hair. I think it was a rug that was transplanted up there, but my cat. And had his little pinky ring on and twirled his hat, and he looked at me and he said, I like you, boy. He reached in his pocket and pulled out $15,000 in cash with a band around it and flipped it on the table. He said, I like you, boy. He said, we're going to join this church. He said, there's more where that came from. You say, what'd you do? Do I look dumb? I took the money. I put it in the church. I looked at him and I said, let me tell you something. I wished I'd have heard this Jack thing. I'd have looked at him and said, let me tell you something, Jack. In fact, I wished his name had been Jack. I'd have said, look at this, Jack. But I looked at him and I said, you know what? You won't last 6 months in this church. He said, well, of course I will. I said, no, you won't. I said, I'm going to put you on the biggest black route I got. I'm going to make you the bus driver on that route. Folks, he didn't last very long. Now, tonight, why don't you thank God you're part of a growing church? And why don't every one of you tonight, back in the corner, having to sit in the folding chairs, and back over here where it's a little hot, back over here where it's uncomfortable, and back over here where you just can't hear as well, maybe or hear too well, and back over here where the kids beside you act up and cut up and don't listen. But every one of you tonight ought to say, thank God, glory to God, hallelujah, we're part of a church keeping people out of hell. No more pressure to financially give it all. When you get in a small church. Shoot, now that I think about it, let's all leave. Even though Christ gave his all. Number seven, no more dictatorial pastoral leadership. Well, Pastor, I'm just tired of you telling us what to do. Most rebels are. Yeah, most rebels are. Hey, you can just go the way of the countless thousands that don't want to have a pastor lead them. Yeah, you can. Number eight, no more sermons preached right at you. That's why you want to get in a smaller church. I want no more sermons preached right at me. Let me tell you something. If you are the only one, which does not happen around here, but if you are the only one, you better say, isn't that something? The preacher loves me. Hey, I'm not paid to preach to the back walls. I'm paid to rip your face off. My wife had 18 major surgeries in 14 years. She's had two tumors the size of a fist taken off both lungs. Wait a minute now. When we were sitting in that doctor's office, I didn't want the doctor to walk out and say to a bunch of folks sitting in the receptionist area, you know, there's someone here who has cancer, but I've just never been one to point people out. Doc, is it us? Doc, is it my wife? I want to know. Now, isn't it amazing that in every area of life, whether it's the law of judgment with judges or lawyers or anything or doctors, you want to know. But when it comes to preaching, you don't think the preacher ought to say anything to step on your toes. No more condemnation sermons. No more battles with the teenage daughters over Hollywood makeup. Go ahead and get in a smaller church. You won't have those battles. Smaller, non-growing church. No more long Sunday night sermons. So you can get home at a decent hour to see your favorite movie. Got a candidate who's leaving right now. Number 12. No more pressure on my wife to wear dresses to church and pressure to look like a lady. So you get in a smaller church. They wear their britches right on Sunday night. They wear their bullfighting britches right on Sunday morning. Why, you want to be a part of a smaller, non-growing church? Number 13, no more pressure to have to get the boys' haircuts so they look like males instead of females. You don't have that kind of pressure. Why, you want to be a smaller, non-growing church? Number 14, no more signing of workers' requirement sheets to get me to live right for God all the time. Gasp. They expect me to live right for God on Monday. Gasp. They expect me to live right for God on Tuesday and Wednesday. Number 15, no more long invitations. Now we can beat the Methodist to the cafeteria. Now tonight, I'm serving notice on you. Now you look at me and you listen to me well. I'm telling every one of you, hey, listen to me now. In every one of these 12 sections, every one of you in the choir, every staff member we've got, every usher we got, you listen to me. With or without you, we're going to have a growing church. I'll say it again. With or without you, we're going to have a growing church. I got an anonymous letter about 4 weeks ago. It said there's too many Mexicans coming in. Looked like it was signed by a Polack. Now, you listen to me. I don't know who it was that wrote that letter. And I don't ever read those things. I made a mistake of looking, and I thought it was signed. I was getting so many love notes that day, it just lulled me into sleep. That was funny. I wish you'd have heard that. Now, I don't know who wrote that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a prejudicial bone in your body, I'll say it again. If you've got a prejudicial bone in your body, you're not right with God. Now you say, blacks were bringing it. They don't know how to act. You didn't either. It's not a matter of color. It has nothing to do with the color of the skin. It has to do with sin. My dear friend, you listen to me tonight. People that burn in hell, black people burn just like white people. And white people burn just like black people do. Hell is hot. People that burn there forever. Hey, somebody's got to care. Thought of another reason why you won't be a part of a smaller, non-growing church. No more blacks there. I want to thank God tonight. Hey, listen to me. I want to thank God tonight for my mom and my daddy. Old Arkansas hillbillies, Brother Bowen. My daddy used to look me square in the eyes, heathen as he was. And he'd say to me, he'd say, son, you're no better than anybody else. Nobody's better than you are. My mama used to drill it in my head. Hey, I was born in the South. Hey, I was born in the South. Hey, I was born in the South. Don't you come to me and say, well, we're just different. Yeah, you're different. You're backslid. That's what's wrong with you. Tonight, without a doubt, you listen to me now, the greatest opportunity. The greatest opportunity. Look at me, look at me, look at me. The greatest opportunity of any church in America to make a difference. One of these days you'll say, I was there. I saw it. I didn't leave. I saw it. Or some of you are going to say, well, why didn't they tell me? If they'd have told me it was going to be such a great ministry, I'd have stayed around. Well, I'm telling you tonight. So, preacher, you sure are cocky. No, I'm just pretty confident in that book right there. Hey, listen to me. You think God loves Jack Howes more than He does us? You think God loves First Baptist Church more than He does us? You think God loved John R. Rice more than He does? No, I don't believe that. You think God loved Dr. Lee Robertson more than He does? No, I don't believe that. I'm saying tonight, listen to me. You got to understand, we have to... Hey, everybody, look at me. Have you ever seen kids walk out before? Look at me. Tonight, you've got to understand that God loves us tonight. If we'll stay... Look, we have got to keep the haircuts on the boys. We've got to keep the dresses on the girls, decent length with the blouses buttoned up. Got to keep our teenagers right. Keep them out of the Hollywood portrait outfit down there. Keep them off the dance hall, out of the rock and roll shows. And listen, we have got to raise some good kids. If we'll do that, we'll stay clean. I know, you say, preacher, you don't believe in hand-holding around here between boys and girls. Now, we don't even believe it between boys. I went to a Bill Gothard seminar last time I ever went to one. Bill Gothard got up and said, all you men, hold hands. Some long-haired, effeminate Assembly of God reverend leaned over, started to grab my hand, and I said, bud, I'm married and not a queer. Keep your own hand. Amen. As long as tonight... I think you women ought to wear the dresses. I think you men ought to wear the pants. If your wife has a right to put on pants, then Dr. Tutton has a right to put on some pantyhose. And if he ever does, I'm taking a picture and sending it to Bob Jones. They'll say, yeah, we knew he departed from the faith. Hey, let's enjoy the church. Let's enjoy it. I mean, keep going home on Sunday night and say, boy, wasn't that a sermon? Well, keep going home on Sunday night and say, I wonder who he was talking about. Let's go home on Sunday night and say, wasn't that something? I couldn't find a seat. You know, if you was really smart, you'd join the choir. You'd have a seat every service. These guys can't sing. They just want to have a seat every week. I was in a church up north that run about 75 and 80. And one day I surrendered to preach, walked down the aisle, surrendered full time. Sir, I didn't know what preach. I didn't know what that meant. I just knew I wanted to spend my whole life keeping people out of hell. I went and heard Dr. Hiles preach and Dr. Rice, and God began to move on my heart. I heard Jim Vineyard in a bus conference. I saw him tear doors off of a platform. Saw him throw chairs and break chairs and carry on. And I looked and said, man, I'd like to do that. I went off to Hiles Anderson College and I joined the church, a church that was running 15,000 in Sunday school. And I'd sit in the back and I'd weep and I'd cry. And I'd sit in the balcony and try to get a right angle, take a look. And I'd take my camera and I'd take pictures. And I fell in love with that church. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't a large church, a big church, has so many more advantages. Please, I beg you tonight. The only reason you'd leave is because of selfishness. Because I'm not getting my needs met. No human being can meet your needs. Jesus said that He would meet your needs. And He's the only one that can meet your needs. We're here to mobilize you, to get you together and organize you to win as many people as we can to Christ. Keep them out of hell. get them back here and teach them the Bible. Choir, look at me now. Teach them the Bible. Strengthen them. Establish them in the faith for one reason, to get back out there and keep somebody else out of hell. Now, if you do that, great things are going to happen. Let me show you what a typical church does. Come here, fellas. Stand up here. This is a typical Thursday night in a typical church. Tonight in a typical little church, this is called visitation. All right? Let's go visiting. But hurry, fellas, the Lord's coming. And so here they go. They go out and they visit. Okay? And it's time to come back. It's 9 o'clock. Okay? So visitation is over with. And they're coming back. Did you have a good visit there?
Did you have a good visit? New couple in town. Great visit.
Wonderful visit.
Good prospects?
Oh, great. They might come sometime.
Think they might? Not a lot of money?
Yes.
Oh, good. That's what we're looking for. Okay. Did you have a good visit?
They weren't home.
They weren't home. Okay. Did you have a good visit?
Had a great visit. Amen. Had coffee with them.
You had coffee. Yeah. Good. That's great. All right. Did you have a good visit?
Good. They have a good set of records. I like
good set of records there. Elvis Presley and other things that you like. Okay. Did you have a good visit?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I told him about the new building and how it's beautiful here. And he said he might come see you.
Oh, good. All right. Did you have a good visit?
Great. Great visit. It was just a good time. We really enjoyed it. It was a good time.
Good. Okay. All right. Did you have a good visit?
I've met a lot of sinners.
A lot of sinners. You didn't get too close, did you?
No, they didn't come either.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Did you have a good visit?
Yes, sir. Good people, good food, good tacos.
Good tacos, he said. All right. Okay, get back here. You too many. All right, here's the way it should be in a soul winning church. Here we go. All right, we're going soul winning. Let's go. Everybody get one. All right, good. Everybody get one. There you go. Good. Everybody get one. That's good. Everybody get one. All right. Okay. Everybody get one. Isn't that great? Hey, did you get one?
I got one, Brittany.
He's dead now. Did you get one?
I got one.
Yeah,
I got one.
Yeah, did you get one?
See.
Did you get one?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, did you get one? No, you're the... No. Yeah. Did you get one?
A Yankee, yes, sir.
Yankee, huh? Did you get one?
A little one.
A little one, huh? Did you get one?
Yes, sir. Yes.
He's not Mexican. Oh, okay. Now guess what? We got to teach them to do the same thing we did. Is that right? Okay. Thursday night again. Everybody. Okay. So, all right, let's go. Everybody go. It's so in a night. 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 Oh, okay. Hey, did you get one?
Yes, sir, I got one.
Oh, you got an ugly one.
Did you get one? Yes. Short one, real short one.
Short one, okay. Did you get one?
Yes, sir.
Oh, did you get one?
Yes.
Did you get one?
Yes, sir.
Did you get one?
Got red hair.
Wow. Did you get one?
Yes, oh, no,
you
got.
Did you get one?
Went for a while, but I landed in.
Hey, somebody see you, man. Hey, you do this after a while, you have to build a building. You have to do something. That's what God intended for us to do. Now, you make up your mind. What do you want tonight? Better than that, what does God want tonight? Because this is exactly what we're going to do, with or without you. We're going to do it. No skin off my nose. With or without you. It's up to you tonight. And I want to be a part of a growing church. Good night. Baby baptism. So I'll go find a seat. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Father, tonight,